This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture with Tina Camellia, Lim Soo Ann and Sumitra Selvaraj. On the show today, tobacco may have lost its place on billboards and ads, but it's still on Netflix. Can films and TV shows really make you want to smoke?
And a university in the UK has been running an architecture workshop for visually impaired students in a bid to create more inclusive buildings.
So on Twitter, we're asking you, if you see a visually impaired person approaching an escalator alone, would you offer assistance? Your options are yes or no. So you can take that poll or tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or you can also call us at 03-773-2900.
First, it's Seen It All by Jake Bug, BFM 89.9.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thanks for sticking around. Our first story, DW reported that tobacco scenes on Netflix are at an all-time high. That's according to a July study by Truth Initiative, which is a US-based anti-smoking organization.
So Netflix seems to be the only place that's bucking the trend. Everywhere else, we've seen a reduction or complete obliteration of the depiction of tobacco and tobacco use. And even tougher regulations on smoking include plain packaging in Australia or the graphic health warnings on packaging that we see here in Malaysia. And other countries such as Canada do not even have a visual display of tobacco products at the point of sale.
And yet, here you have Netflix featuring three times more smoking scenes in the 2016-2017 season compared to the previous season. And these are shows that are most popular within the 15 to 24 age group. So we're talking about hit shows like Stranger Things, House of Cards, and my perennial favourite, Orange is the New Black. For example, there were 45 tobacco scenes on Orange is the New Black last season compared to 233 this season. Another show that's made a huge impression is Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, from just 9 last season to 292. Goodness. Overall, 92% of the shows analysed showed more tobacco scenes, up from 79% in the 2015-2016 season.
That's quite a lot. So we turn to Dr. Zariha Mohamed Zain, the medical director of Malaysian Women's Action for Tobacco Control and Health, for her thoughts on the issue.
When we were younger, we used to see tobacco advertising everywhere, right? Whether it's direct advertising, whether it's sports billboards, newspapers and so on. But that's no longer the case. So maybe you can start with giving us a brief history of the public health campaign that has led to the ban on tobacco promotion.
Yeah, sure. Of course, as you mentioned, we were surrounded with a lot of bombardment that would promote people to use tobacco prior to 1990s in many medias that we, you know, that we live in. And that is no longer present now. It didn't come on like in an instant, but it went on for a while, quite incremental. When we started out having the first law that legislate tobacco control, that was in 1994, the Control of Tobacco Products Regulation, we had a ban of direct tobacco advertising, which means no more direct depiction of smoking, no more, what do you call, exposure to the cigarette or the cigarette box and so on. But that ban in 1994 actually got the tobacco industry very, I would say, innovative, more creative. They were doing what we call indirect advertising, and they were associating smoking and smoking products with other products, like, for example, like travels, like imagining traveling to nice, cool places with a brand of a cigarette. At that time, it was Salem. They call it Salem High Country. And we know they're not selling the tours, but they were actually selling the tobacco products. So that went on, and it was getting very very bad. And we were like the, in a way, the indirect advertising capital for the world. People were actually using Malaysia as a bad example, where you ban one type and when actually the other type of advertising flourishes. So in 2004, our revised version of the Controlled Tobacco Products Regulation banned completely all forms of direct and indirect advertising, except that we still allow in that law, which is still currently enforceable, the advertising at points of sale, including display panels of cigarette and cigarette boxes at points of sale. Mm-hmm. So that also we need to get rid of. So that is, you know, briefly what the ban entails. But it takes a long time. Mm-hmm. We had a ban on sponsorships and so on. Also, it took a long time. We had ban on all sports, and then we had to have leeway a little bit for Formula One because of some political and other interests that has got to be given a little bit more grace period, and then issues of advertising a sponsorship for football because of the position where football was and so on, and badminton. But all that we managed to get rid of one by one, mm-hmm. and now you don't have any more sports sponsorship by tobacco industry.
Right. So, and yet a July study by Truth Initiative, which is a US-based anti-tobacco organization, found that Netflix featured nearly three times as many smoking scenes in its shows in the 2016-2017 season compared to the previous season. And of course, Malaysia and its legislation, I suppose, does not have much control over what's shown on Netflix. So some of those shows, which I think a lot of Malaysians love watching, include Stranger Things and House of Cards. Were you surprised at all by these findings?
No, I'm not surprised. I mean, the issues of cigarette advertising in movies has been something that was discussed at many levels. Mm-hmm. And we're not surprised because with a lot of bans and restrictions in advertising, and in fact, total ban and so on, the tobacco industry has got excess money that they would have actually use it for advertising. They no longer can use that because they're all banned. Mm-hmm. So they've got more money and they keep finding loopholes. And so movies would be one. And we call that product placement, mm-hmm. where they use the products being aired as part of the movie. And there are also things like incidents. Incident is the occurrence of smoking or other tobacco use in a movie, and impressions. The other one is tobacco impression, where one person is seen in one incident, where impressions are measured by the number of total audience exposure. Mm. So it becomes a specialty now.
Right.
People look at that because that is a loophole and that should be plugged up.
Mm. But can films and TV shows really make new smokers?
Yes, I mean, a lot of people are very impressed with what they watch on mm-hmm. TV and in the movies. Like, for example, things like Hindi movies in Bollywood, mm-hmm. they capture a lot of audiences worldwide, mm-hmm. and things like billions of viewers. And this is one way that they should try and curb the exposure to something negative like smoking among their viewers. I mean, a lot of people get swayed and impressed with what they watch on movies, and they want to be like the hero and so on.
Right.
So it's not surprising that is one good way to try and influence people to do what they want. People, then I'm talking about the tobacco industry, mm-hmm. that is, go through the movies. And it's indirect, yet it's very powerful. It's very impactful for the viewers.
That's right. So, of course, the debate now is that whether these restrictions, this ban on tobacco advertising, should be extended to film and TV, where the restriction would be that such such shows would be given an adult content rating. Do you think this is the right way forward? And where can you draw the line between, you know, art and artistic license and public health?
Yeah, I understand. The thing is that certainly you would not want to get children or young adults whose minds are just being shaped with the things that they experience and what they see around them. You don't want them to be influenced to something negative. So they should be rated as such. I mean, I would think that maybe a PG parental guidance rating for any kind of advertising or any kinds of exposure in films or movies that has got smoking in it, or even a more strict rating for it. I don't know very much about rating in movies, but certainly, yes, we have to make sure that parents are aware. By having those ratings, parents would be more aware and concerned about what they expose their children to. If we don't have such things, they might think that it's fine, it's all right. So I think the government do have a responsibility there in trying to educate parents on how to raise these children so that they are not too exposed with negativities, including smoking. Now, your question about where you draw the line, of course, the people in the arts, the creative people, they think that it's a restriction of their democracy as a creative people and so on. But we also have to think about protecting the public, right? So they should also think about being responsible in their creativity. So I certainly think that, I mean, of course, if you discuss with somebody who is who does sculpture of nudity and so on, to a lot of people that is a no-no, but to them that's art. I mean, how can you go along with them when it is severely or very negatively impacting on the majority of the people? You have to definitely put restrictions and draw a very stern line, actually. The smoking is now becoming a very big problem. There are a lot of issues that comes with smoking and things that is related to it. And we have to put our foot down, and I think it's just appropriate that the government put all these restrictions in order to protect, safeguard our younger generations.
All right. Thank you so much for your thoughts, Dr. Zaria. That's really insightful.
So that was Dr. Zaria Hamamad Zain, the Medical Director of Malaysian Women's Action for Tobacco Control and Health.
All right, so Suan, you might be a bit too young for the days when, you know, tobacco ads were everywhere.
Which leaves me.
Yes. But do you remember the old days of...
Yeah, I remember, rather iconic in television advertisements for their music. And I don't remember direct advertising, whether the packaging was actually visible. I do remember seeing posters and things like that. But indirect advertising, you know, where, for example, music or events were used alongside tobacco brand names. I certainly remember being very young and the switchover happening between smoking being allowed in cinemas to then, you know, all the cinemas having to be refurbished and then having all the ashtrays taken out. And certainly something I don't miss, smoking in cinemas.
Oh, can you imagine the smell that's stuck in the...
While you're trying to enjoy a movie and your popcorn.
Yeah, I'll be glad we've been progressing after many, many years. But I'm really curious about how this form of subliminal messaging on films and TV, whether that really affects consumer choices.
So I don't know about consumer choices, but I remember from a couple of years ago, the CDC in the US released a report, a Surgeon General's report. They made it incredibly clear in that report that smoking in movies did cause people did cause young people to start right. smoking.
They're so impressionable.
Yeah. and it was quite revolutionary for the Surgeon General's report to be so direct in its messaging. And I think I'm pulling up the figures here. They said that if you gave an R rating to future movies with smoking, you could reduce the number of teen smokers by nearly 1 in 5. That's 18%, preventing up to 1 million deaths from smoking among children alive today.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't mind having it, because it wouldn't affect me, the rating, the R rating, right? Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't mind it being imposed. And I don't see it causing any harm, I suppose. Well, it's more of a harm reduction or avoiding, I suppose you're erring on the side of...
Wait. Caution. Yes. Because you're talking about impressionable minds. We're not saying that they cannot think for themselves. Mm-hmm. There are certain decisions that they cannot make themselves until they come of legal age.
And it also forces the producers of these films to rethink their creative directions and how they want to either normalize or glamorize smoking depiction in their films, whether it's necessary, whether it's gratuitous.
And I think sometimes when you look at smoking in films, there's a very particular stereotype that goes with it as well, like, oh, smoking means that's the bad boy or the bad girl.
Yes.
And then, you know, and that goes back to the idea of creativity. You're just falling into easy stereotypes and not thinking out of the box.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that certainly happens in Tamil movies, for example. You know, the bad girl is the only one who's smoking. The good girl never smokes, of course, because, you know, she would indulge in such behavior. But I know the Tamil movies, for sure, come with advisories at the beginning of every movie saying that, you know, smoking is injurious to your health and alcohol use is injurious to your health. I believe that's supposed to be the standard for Hollywood movies as well. There's a motion picture association that's supposed to regulate this, but I don't think it's a necessity that every movie show it. But having said that, I actually don't notice smoking in movies anymore. Is that a horrible thing to say? I think it just happens so insidiously.
Right. Yeah.
So tell us what you think. Do tobacco depiction in films and TV entice young people to start smoking? So you can tweet any of your thoughts to us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-7733-2900.
Our next story is coming up right after Up in the Air by Hooting Tennis Club, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.